From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. A dozen Russian intelligence officers have been indicted for tampering in the 2016 election. Plus, Maryland officials recently learned a Russian oligarch bought a software firm that holds a state contract for voter registration. How is Maryland ensuring the security of its elections in November? We speak to Linda Lamone, administrator of the State Board of Elections, and Deputy Administrator Nikki Charlson. Charlson describes measures to assure accurate results.
Even if there's an issue with the encrypted electronic results that are transferred by human beings back to the election office, we always have the paper ballots to recount if necessary to use for audits.
And Hopkins computer science professor and security expert Avi Rubin tells what he learned from serving as an elections judge. On the record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Maryland Senate President Mike Miller and House Speaker Michael Bush held a press conference last month to alert the public of ties between a Russian oligarch and the company that maintains servers with voter registration data in Maryland. Miller spoke to reassure the public.
We need to be on top of it and assure our constituents that everything is on the up and up, and that Republicans and Democrats, Governor, Speaker of the House, President of the Senate, Attorney General, Board of Election Supervisors are working together to make certain that the elections coming up in November are going to be fair and that everything is going to happen the way it's supposed to happen.
The revelation came after the Justice Department indicted a dozen Russian nationals last month on allegations that they were part of a vigorous hacking scheme during the 2016 presidential campaign. Maryland leaders have asked the Department of Homeland Security for help in auditing the state's voter systems network. Joining me to discuss the integrity of the state's voting system is Linda Lamone, administrator of the Maryland State Board of Elections. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And also with us by phone is Deputy State Elections Administrator Nikki Charlson. Welcome.
Thank you.
Linda, what was your reaction when the FBI alerted you to this news of a Russian oligarch having invested in the software firm?
Well, to be perfectly frank, I wasn't happy. But since that information was provided to us by the FBI, and by the way, they were emphatic that there was no evidence of any breach or fraudulent transactions, we immediately contacted the Department of Homeland Security, and I'm pleased to say that they are sending a rather large team in here in a few days to evaluate the situation to make sure that there is nothing that we need to be concerned about at the moment. And then we are well on our way to reviewing our own options to move forward and make sure that things are stable at the company. As you know, we're less than 100 days away from the election, and making a change to this situation at this point carries considerable risk, but we're looking at our options and evaluating them against the risk. And just to give you a bit of background, Sheila, how do we get in this situation? Well, the state very conveniently creates master contracts for various services that the state agencies use, and they pre-qualify the vendors on that contract. And that's what we use the master contract to select the hosting vendor from. And at the time we selected the vendor, it was a locally owned company. And we weren't informed until sometime later that, in fact, they had changed their name. So there was no way for us to know until we were informed by the FBI that there was this issue.
And it's not clear to me, that contract at this point is still in effect.
It is.
So are there any policies to screen vendors for ties to Russia, to Russian oligarchs?
I do not know that. That would be a question for the Department of Information Technology, who is the control agency in this situation. My main concern is at the moment is to make sure that everything is safe, and that's why this very large team from the Department of Homeland Security will be arriving here to begin that evaluation, and we are meeting with other contractors to see what options we have.
American intelligence officials believe that Russian-linked hackers targeted voter rolls in 39 states during the 2016 campaign. The Baltimore Sun reported last summer that the State Board of Elections detected, quote, suspicious activity, close quote, on a system used for online voter registration and requests for absentee ballots. Experts determined the system was not breached. These threats to our democracy are not going away. How are you keeping ahead of those threats?
Well, we're dealing with cybersecurity 24/7 these days, and we have some very good people here as well as some outside contractors who are very, very good and are watching the situation and monitoring things 24/7, as well as participating in various federal programs from the Department of Homeland Security that monitor all the traffic. And we do our own monitoring here at the State Board of Elections as well. So one can never be 100% confident that everything is fine. I think we feel comfortable that everything is fine and would like to assure our voters that we are working as diligently as we can with our partners to make sure everything is fine.
Let's turn to some specific security measures in place. Nikki, in 2016, paper ballots made their return to the polls in Maryland. Why are paper ballots safer than electronic voting?
Well, there are advantages and disadvantages to every voting system on the market. The General Assembly made a decision that they wanted us to move to paper. The value of paper ballots is that even if there's an issue with the encrypted electronic results that are transferred by human beings back to the election office, we always have the paper ballots to recount if necessary, to use for audits. So they are a safeguard that we now have in place.
And how are the voting machines protected from hacking?
So the machines are part of a larger system that are protected through the inherent design of the system, through policies and procedures that we and the local boards of elections have put in place, as well as the people that work them. So, for example, the voting system is never connected to the internet. So those scanners that are located in every polling place and early voting center in the state are not connected outside. They're only plugged into the wall for power. The results are stored on a removable thumb drive. They're encrypted while they're on that thumb drive. And then in terms of our policies and procedures, we require that a bipartisan pair of poll workers drive those thumb drives back to the office of the local elections board. After every election, we do a complete audit of 100% of all of the ballot images. We send them to a third party and have those images recounted.
Can I interrupt and ask what an audit of 100% of the ballot images means?
Sure. When the voter feeds the voted ballot into the scanner creates a digital image of that ballot. The image is what the voting system tabulates, and we can get copies of those. So we export copies of every ballot cast in the election, and we send those images to a third party who has designed software that recounts them. And then what they do is they tell us what their results are and compare it to the results that we have.
And is there a margin of error, or do you expect those to match precisely?
The margin of error that we have established is 0.5%. That would trigger a more robust audit. It would trigger going back to, say, maybe counting ballots or going back to look at the data.
Linda Lamone, how does Maryland compare to other states in terms of secure technology?
Well, I don't want to characterize my sister states as not being secure. I know my people here work very, very hard to make sure we are. I suspect that most of the other states are doing the same thing. I mean, it's national news every day. The president of the National Association of Secretaries of State issued an op-ed piece the other day basically outlining all of the stuff that the states are doing to ensure the integrity of the election. The federal government has stepped up through the Department of Homeland Security with incredible resources for all of us. And we have now a government coordinating council, and we've developed a very stringent and very robust communication protocol so that the information about issues is shared promptly with the appropriate election official in each state. Homeland Security has also set up an information sharing network for us so that we get alerts in virtually real time of any issues that are coming up that they're finding. They're providing the states with monitoring of all of our web traffic so that we know that nobody's trying to do anything nefarious. I think everybody is working very, very closely together and to make sure that we do everything possible to protect the integrity of the elections process.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with the Administrator of the State Board of Elections, Linda Lamone, and with Deputy State Election Administrator Nikki Charlson. We're talking about keeping Maryland's election system secure. Nikki, the weekend before the primary election in late June, news broke that a computer glitch had caused kiosks at the Motor Vehicle Administration to fail to record changes some voters made to their address or party affiliation. More than 80,000 voters were affected. What changes have been made to prevent this from occurring in November?
Well, just in terms of clarifying, it was 80,000 records. There were voters in there that had multiple transactions. And there were voters in those transactions that were not eligible to vote in the primary election. So the number was big, and we certainly responded quickly. It turned out that after all the provisional ballots were counted, that about 3,500 of voters were impacted by the MVA failure to transfer, but 3,200 of those 3,500 ballots were accepted. So it showed that the provisional voting process that we have in place in Maryland does serve as a fail-safe measure and can be used in the case of an administrative issue, and we can resolve and get those voters' ballots counted.
I just want to make sure I'm clear. There was an uptick in the number of provisional ballots, but most of those provisional ballots ended up being counted.
That's correct, yes. We did have more provisional ballots cast in the primary election than 4 years ago. But yes, as you said, most of them were counted. So since the election, we've continuing to work very closely with MVA. They have sent us over all the transactions that we previously had not received, and we are processing them. I understand that MVA has put in place some checks to make sure that they are sending to us all of the transactions that should come to us, and they're auditing that on a weekly basis. And we're also working with MVA to make sure that we have in place a process that we verify and confirm with MVA how many files they sent and how many files we received. That was not the issue in the primary. It wasn't that they were sending us files that we weren't receiving, but we think that that's an important audit to add to the process.
Linda, I want to ask you about funding. Several months ago, Congress approved $380 million in funding for election assistance grants to the states. In July, Republicans in the House turned down a move by Democrats to add a matching sum to the 2019 spending bill. How much financial assistance is Maryland receiving from the federal government to improve election security?
Roughly around $7.5 million. Is the current amount that Congress has authorized, and it's what they call five-year money. We have to spend it within 5 years.
And does the state have to budget extra money to get the federal funds?
Yes. I think there's a 5% match, which we won't have any problem meeting. The problem is that to really do everything correct, we need stability in the funding stream. You can't just go out and say you're going to hire cybersecurity experts, and then in 5 years the money's gone and those people are gone. You need, in today's world, we need to make sure that we have a sustainable amount of funding to keep everything in place over a longer period of time. Not to criticize Congress, but everybody just needs to keep that in mind. In spite of that, we are doing our best to plan on how to use it in a prudent way. It certainly is a welcome addition because there is just a lot that we want to be able to keep on doing.
So tell me what that infusion of money, relatively short term as it is, what does that mean for election security? How are you using it?
We have allocated most of the money to improving our infrastructure and adding tools to help us maintain it and monitor it. So the way we look at cybersecurity here is, how do we protect against bad actors? How do we detect them? And then how would we recover if our systems go down? And so our plan is looking at all three components of that. That's where we're really focusing on where we need to improve those and enhance those measures.
As you know much better than I, on November 6th, Marylanders will choose a new governor, all the members of the legislature, quite a few county officials. If citizens want to register to vote or make changes in their registration, how can they do this?
So we have simple ways for voters to change or update their information, and for new voters to join the process. They can do it online. Our website is elections.maryland.gov. There's an online system to submit it, and there's also a paper form that a voter can print out and mail in. The deadline to register to vote or to update information is October 16th. So while there's lots of time before that, encourage individuals to take care of it now. We do, during early voting, have the opportunity for individuals to register to vote or update their address. So there is this second opportunity to do that during early voting if voters miss the October 16th deadline.
And if a voter is nervous, given all the headlines, how can they double-check that they are registered or that their changes were made?
We have available on our website a voter lookup where voters can put in their information to confirm that they are, one, registered to vote, that, two, that the information that we have on file is current. And if the voter has moved, we give information and instructions as to how the voter can update the address. So we encourage all voters to use our voter lookup to just verify that they're registered and that we have the current information.
I'm grateful to you both for talking to us about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Linda Lamone is administrator of the Maryland State Board of Elections. Nikki Charlson is deputy state election administrator. We've got the links they mentioned at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. Quick break now, and then a voting security expert shares his experience serving as an election judge. I'm Sheila Katz. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. During the 2016 campaign, the election systems of dozens of states, including Maryland, were probed by hackers. Authorities are adamant that no votes were changed during that election. Instead, it's believed the hackers were searching for vulnerabilities to target in future attacks. What can we do to keep our elections free, open, and secure? Avi Rubin is a professor of computer science at Johns Hopkins University and technical director of the JHU Information Security Institute. He's written extensively about voting security. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
So we just heard from the administrator and deputy administrator of the State Board of Elections about measures like using paper ballots and conducting audits. What practices would you recommend to increase security of our voting system?
I think that Maryland has come a long way. We are now using paper ballots, which are a much more secure way of voting than we had in the past. But it's not enough for a full end-to-end secure voting system just to have paper ballots. I think it's a tremendous step. But the next step is to have proper random audits. And a random audit means that ballots are recounted after the election closes in precincts that are chosen at random after the election closes.
Why is it important to choose the precincts at random after the election?
It's important because let's say that somebody wants to tamper with the election, like say the Russians want to hack into the voting system and the voting machines. There are still electronic machines at the polls, which are the ones that count the ballots. And if it's known in advance which precincts are going to be subjected to the audit, then the attackers could make sure that the count was correct at those precincts, but not necessarily correct at other precincts. And so, for example, if the scanning machine software that tabulates them were to be tampered with, and you knew in advance which precincts were going to be audited, you would just make sure that those precincts counted correctly while you could count incorrectly at all the other precincts.
And when you say, okay, an audit at random precincts, what is that audit? Is it a mechanical thing, or is it human eyeballs looking at paper ballots, or what?
The recommended technique, and this has been studied pretty widely by colleagues of mine at MIT and at Berkeley, and the recommendation is that the precincts be chosen at random, and when a precinct is chosen, that means that human beings manually look at the ballots and count them, and then that's compared to the total that's produced by the automatic scanner, which is basically a computer.
And what would you consider an acceptable margin of error?
A lot of it depends on the size of the election, the threat level of the election. They start out with very small amounts. Even like 5% of the precincts can be counted and give you a pretty good, if you find nothing wrong in 5% that's randomly chosen, you have pretty high confidence that the election is fine. However, if you find any discrepancy at all, there are algorithms for increasing the number of precincts that need to be randomly audited, and it's important that the state follow these protocols. Otherwise, a lot of the benefits of having paper ballots go out the window because the audit is a crucial component of the full election security system.
You served as an election judge in 2004 and 2006. What did you learn from that experience?
I learned a tremendous amount. You know, I was a computer scientist doing research on electronic voting security, and I had initially a pretty good theoretical understanding of the problem. But when I served as an election judge and I worked in the polls and I watched people come in, give their names, go to the machines, vote, and then performed all the procedures at the end of the day of collecting the cards that had the ballots on them and making sure that they were sent to where they needed to go, I really appreciated what it's like to try to run an election and what the operational aspects of an election are, which I now understand in addition to the technical computer science aspects.
That's Hopkins Computer Science Professor Avi Rubin, an expert on voting technology and security, here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about keeping elections secure in the face of rising threats. The fact that the country does not have a unified system of voting and voter registration, every state does it differently, how does that impact the security of U.S. elections?
I think that there is some inherent security in having a diverse set of systems because a particular attack would only work against the systems that it worked against and it wouldn't work against states that were using something else. However, I would say that the benefits of something like paper ballots with random audits outweigh the benefits of diversity. And I think the most secure system we could have would be nationwide paper ballot system with random recounts and audits, and not that different from what we're doing here in Maryland.
What do you see as the greatest threat to the voting process?
Unfortunately, right now, I see it as the social media that we have right now, because we have these, what are called these bots, these fake accounts that are being created by people who are intent on creating disruption in the United States and creating divisions among people. And it worked tremendously well in the last election. There's evidence that Russia was behind this and that it happened. And I'm afraid that if we move forward with people using Facebook and Twitter and getting a lot of their information online, that we could end up having big problems. And so while I came into this because I was suspicious of the voting machines, and I've done a lot of work towards publishing ways that I think elections could be done better, I think that we need to tackle the social networking aspects of security as we move forward.
And what do you think of what you're hearing about attempts to do that, ongoing attempts, like Facebook taking down a bunch of pages that it said were artificially created?
I think that Facebook has scratched the surface. They are now aware that there's a big problem, and they are starting to take measures to do it. We are moving a lot closer to the election, and I think the attackers are moving faster than Facebook's ability to deal with the attack right now. It's not just fake information, but the attackers are actually creating a lot of content that takes both sides of every issues and creating online arguments that don't really exist between people just to stir up emotions and just to create more divisiveness. And when we see how polarized our country is right now and how emotions run deep on both sides, some of that is being fomented by fake entities online that are just creating controversy for the sake of upsetting people and creating division and weakening our country.
Very sobering. I appreciate your talking to us about it. Thank you.
Sure.
Avi Rubin is a professor of computer science at Johns Hopkins University and technical director of the JHU Information Security Institute. The general election is November 6th. Voting registration in Maryland closes October 16th. Links to information at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.